We present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday.
April 1945, the Third Reich's 13th hour. Into the blazing rubble of Berlin parachutes a unit of Allied commandos. Their mission, to kidnap Hitler. We present the 13th hour.
Raises the alarm.
Hey, you!
I feel ridiculous running away from a small girl like that. She could give the whole game away. We must find some place to hide.
Somewhere I'll call the Gestapo.
The broken rubble. If I can get behind it and duck down. I made it. Now, let's hope she didn't see where I went.
No. Where did he go? He was here just now. He must have gone down that side street. I wonder if I should follow him. I'll try to get my place back in the queue. Oh, go back to the queue, I suppose. He won't catch him now. I wonder if I should tell the Gestapo.
That was close. Oh, damn it. Could have had a chance to get something to eat. I better head back to the cellar before she alerts the Gestapo.
What the hell?
Who are you? What are you doing here?
I might ask you the same.
Is this your home? What's left of it?
Oh, I thought you...
lived here? That's what you were going to say, wasn't it? So, it's not your home either.
What are you doing? Oh, Formoy. You found him.
This is your friend? You are not much of a nurse. But I suppose I am not much better.
Formoy.
He can't hear you. He's unconscious. That's how I found him when I went to look for the coal in the bin to make a fire. He's in a bad way. I tried to do what I could, but have you brought him a doctor?
No, I couldn't find one.
You're German. It is heavily accented. Who are you? What are you doing here?
No, don't panic, please. I'm French. I work in the tank factory.
Which factory? There. I'll ask you in French. You'll understand better.
You speak French?
Yes. I spent my early childhood in Deauville.
I don't believe it.
What is that? Don't you know French, monsieur? You are lying. You are not French. No, are you German? Russian? A spy?
No, please, look.
Do not move. I have a kitchen knife in my hands.
You
had better leave. I won't tell the authorities. But that is all I will do for you. Now move away from that door.
Please listen. I won't hurt you.
Indeed, you will not. I am quite capable of using this knife. I have already faced some of your Russian friends.
Listen, my companion, my friend, I can't leave without him.
Well, you may take him with you. Go now. Go far away. The SS was here not 30 minutes ago, searching for deserters. They will be back. I don't want to have to tell them about you, but I will.
What was that? Please, just let me talk to you for a moment.
What was that word you spoke? Was this English or Russian?
Oh, no, I'm French, just like I told you. I'm part of a battalion of foreign labor conscripts. Now, please, if we could just have one private word, I promise I won't try to hurt you.
There, there.
Thank you.
Not too close. And now you will tell me the truth. You are Russian, aren't you? Are the Russians already here?
No. I'm an American.
American? Oh, thank heavens. Thank heavens.
What?
Americans in Berlin? If we must surrender, better anything than the Russians.
Oh, damn.
But where are your troops? Why are you hiding?
There are no troops. We're alone.
No troops? Oh, please don't tell me the Americans are going to let the Russians take the city. I've seen the Russians.
What? No. Now, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Our troops are on the way.
Oh, thank heavens.
Just a day or two to the west. I was part of a team, you know, to reconnoiter. You understand? Then we got cut off, and my friend was badly hurt. And, well, someone had to stay behind to look after him.
To stay with an injured companion. Dead for brave.
Well, someone had to do it.
Oh, a real life American. The Emmys will be here soon. When are the British coming as well? Will they come in force, bringing food, medicines? Will they help the Germans send the Russians back from the city?
Hey, Friday, please.
Oh, I'm sorry to ask so many questions, but after having fled from the Russians...
Yeah, of course, I understand.
Everyone here is living on borrowed time and borrowed hopes. The most important hope for all of us is for the relief by Americans. Everyone asks... When will the Americans arrive? Everything will be all right when the Americans come, they say. Over and over again, I have heard it. The Americans will soon be here. Hold out, hold on. Help is on its way. It seems no one cares that the Americans have dropped bombs all over the city. The important thing is that the American foot soldier carries chocolate in his shirt pocket, and he will smile, and that he isn't Russian. All the rumors have been like that.
And you believe them?
Yes. I would like to strike a bargain with you.
Oh? What kind?
I will help you, if in turn you will help me.
How?
I will say nothing about you to anyone, and I will help to hide you and your friend. In return... You will protect me if the Russians should arrive first. And keep me safe until the Amis get here.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's only fair.
And you will tell the American authorities that I have helped you. And so I will get good treatment, no?
Yeah.
Oh, what an unexpected turn to a terrible day. Now I have my own private Amy.
Sure, and, well, an insurance policy, that's me. I come to maturity on the day the war ends. Now, about the premiums.
Premiums?
You mentioned trying to make a fire. You know, you were going to cook food, surely, I mean.
Oh, you have no provisions? Your leader sent you on a sortie with no supplies?
Yeah, well, yes, they did, actually. But in the fighting, well, you know, I'm afraid I had to jettison everything, but... My friend here. I've got some money, though. I got a ration card. I got plenty of Reichsmarks.
A ration card does little good when there's no food to be had. Cigarettes. Have you any cigarettes?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't smoke.
Oh. Well, perhaps I can find food tomorrow. This evening, we at least have carrots. Would you like a raw carrot?
Would I like a raw carrot?
Oh, I'll be trying to boil some peas.
Please, please. No, listen. I won't take all your food. Just give me only what you can spare.
I have another question to ask you.
Oh, yeah? Well, what is it?
In the fighting that injured your friend, did the German troops fight well? I mean, did
they... like lions. Oh. We never expected to meet such heated resistance. I've never seen anything like it.
That is something you would not understand.
No?
Come. We must see about getting you fed. And perhaps we can feed something to your friends.
Oh. What was that?
Oh, just something of mine I was keeping among the food. I knocked it down.
Hey. A bottle of French wine. For 3.37, eh? Yeah, don't.
Give it to me.
You don't want to open it?
No. I don't mean to be rude. But the bottle is special. My fiancé gave it to me before he went to the front. We are to open it to celebrate the end of the war. Then he returns.
I'm sorry.
He's a lieutenant in the army.
Yeah. I understand. Well, he should be home soon.
I hope so. He was with Field Marshal Paulus in the 6th Army at Stalingrad. I have had no word from him since the surrender. That is more than 2 years now.
Maybe he's a prisoner. You know, maybe he's okay, he's all right.
Perhaps. Let us think of our meal now. Those cats, they're stolen. I took them from a farmhouse. One can try to live on hope, but it is never enough. I find the body is often happier with a few stolen carrots.
Yep, my sentiments exactly.
I'm sorry our troops fought so hard. If the ends are coming, the sooner they arrive, the better. It would be easier if our soldiers didn't resist so hard and yet...
I know. It's hell to lose, but at least they're going down fighting. Come on, let's eat. And then you can tell me all about yourself.
These are all the worldly goods I have. 4 candles, an old alarm clock, some clothes of my own, a couple of blankets, a few kitchen utensils, and this bottle of 37 Bouvray, which my fiancé brought to me after the fall of Paris. My parents and my baby sister were killed.
How? Oh.
We were living in Berlin when the war broke out. When the enemy began bombing the city, my father thought it better if we moved to some village north of here for safety. So we did. To Petershagen. Unfortunately, the fate they tried to escape awaited them there. About 3 weeks after moving there, while I stood in a baker's line only a block away, a bomb fell on the house where they were staying. By the time the neighbors dug them out, they were dead.
I'm sorry.
I often wonder how long they fought for breath in that suffocating darkness until they... For a long time, it was hard for me to enter the cellar. Fear was so strong.
Why did you?
I had nowhere to go. Soon after the murder of my family, the Russians began shelling Petershagen. And then, so quickly after that, they invaded it, what was left of it. There was hardly anything at all.
Must have been terrifying.
I was hiding with some women in a barn of a burnt-out farm. Some Russians burst into it. I remembered all the rumors I'd heard about their barbarity. That night, it seemed to be true.
Did they?
Oh, they assaulted the other women. The Russians have but 2 things on their mind. Rape and robbery. For robbery, they seem to prefer bicycles and wristwatches.
That's a bit weird.
And for rape, they prefer fat women, regardless of age. My companions, unfortunately, were fat. As you can see, starvation has made me anything but that. I probably looked dreadful to them. dirty and gaunt.
Yeah, but not ugly. You have beautiful golden hair and a lovely face.
Well, the Russians didn't seem interested. And while they were busy with other women, I fled. I arrived in the city this morning, stealing food where I could.
You've had a bad time.
I tried returning to my parents' home, but the entire street had been flattened. There was nothing left of any of the houses, just rubble and craters. I tried to beg for shelter, but every time I was turned away, no one wants to cope with an extra person.
So you just wandered around till you ended up here?
Yes. At first, I was terrified to come down the stairs because of the memory of my parents and my sister. But
how did you find Fourboy?
He was in the coal bin.
Yeah. I hid him there.
I wanted to try and cook some food, so I looked around for wood, and by chance, I saw the bin. It had coal and him, of course.
What made you decide to nurse him?
I don't know. I suppose I was not sure if it wasn't one of our own soldiers wounded in the outskirts of the city and hiding here because of pain and fear.
Well, you did a neat job.
Not neat enough. It is not sufficient. You will have to get proper medical attention for him.
I can't.
But if he is to live...
I'll just have to wait.
Will the Americans arrive? It may be too late.
That's a risk I'm going to have to take.
When I found him, I also kept thinking someone has helped him. Perhaps that person was around, still here. I was very scared.
Well, now you can see that you no need to be.
I went through your friend's pockets to look for some form of identification. I found a small oilskin packet. It had money.
Yeah, some coins and notes.
Yes.
We all got on our wonderful survival kit.
It was a worker's identity card, made out to Maurice Laveau. That is what made me suspicious.
It did, but why?
His very faint appearance.
Well, he's not so well, I mean, as you can see.
Oh, a few days without food. Some of us had been weeks with nothing more than some dried peas and raw carrots. No, I decided he was too well fed for a foreign worker, for they are given less than German civilians.
And what did you do with everything?
I was tempted by the money. But then I decided to put everything back as I found it, including a single strange pill wrapped in cellophane.
Oh, yeah. Our suicide pill. I wonder if we should leave that on Fourmoy. Would he take it?
Suicide?
Yeah, in case we were caught.
Would you do that?
No.
Neither would I. I would fight.
You would?
Yes. I would never let anything force me to do that.
My dear Mura, it is only you. For a moment, I thought... come in.
I did not mean to disturb your rest light up. I was curious to know how this evening's session with the Führer had gone.
It was most unpleasant. The Führer was at first beside himself with rage.
Huh?
There has been one bad report after the other. Our front has collapsed. Heinrici's Army Group Vistul and Busse's 9th Army have been split apart by a Russian wedge almost 20 miles wide. As you know, Soviet tanks are grinding towards Brno in the north.
Yeah, and Zossen, the temporary headquarters of our high command, has fallen to the Russians in the south this morning. Russian troops are within sight of the city.
It would take at least 200,000 men to defend Berlin properly.
And one has only to look around to see that there are no such men. At most, the city can depend on are some 80-odd understrength battalions filled with creaking age-bent Volkssturm men, a few thousand children of the Hitlerjugend, two battalions or so of guard troops, and a ragtag collection of clerks, subway attendants, and firemen banded together in something we have grandly called the Alarm Brigade. Scarcely 60,000 men.
If you can call them men. Poorly trained, poorly equipped, poorly motivated.
And yet they will have to hold off 2 million Russians.
Unless relief were to arrive soon. Berlin is doomed.
The Führer?
He has begun to realize that something of consequence has to be done. He began this evening's session by demanding where General Steiner was, how far his attack had progressed.
And?
What could one say? There was only silence. Field Marshal Keitel and Vice Admiral Voss began a charade of pretending to study the maps. How brave General Scripps and Jodl looked away. Even I could not meet his eyes.
What did he do?
He asked us again. Where is Steiner, he said. That he had ordered him to bring the SS Panzer Corps to Berlin 2 days ago. That he had expected to be in Berlin by now. By now, the Führer had begun to address us directly. He asked Krebs first.
What did Krebs say?
What could he say? There was nothing to report.
Oh, the Führer must have been furious.
He was. He started to shout at us that we had not been telling him the truth, that he needed Steiner's men, and we were to tell him how far they had come.
Did you?
I didn't, my dear Müller. But Jodl did.
What did he say?
The truth, as demanded. That General Steiner's Panzer Corps is operating at only partial strength, that he has barely 10,000 men.
And they are mainly new recruits.
The Führer refused to believe that. He shouted that his orders had been ignored, how he had ordered all available replacements to him several days ago.
But we have tried. Steiner has every man we could find. Even then, he is badly under strength.
I know. The Führer is expecting him to drive through 100,000 Russians with only 10,000 men. But one cannot say that to the Führer. He believes that one German is equal to 10 Russians. He persisted in asking how far Steiner's attack had progressed.
That would have meant...
revealing Steiner's refusal. Yeah. Poor Krebs. He decided to be the one to answer that question. When he informed the Führer that the attack hadn't started, that Steiner refuses to move until his corps is brought to full strength, the Führer collapsed.
Collapsed?
He became very white. He seemed to be struggling for breath. Then he sank into a chair. After that, he ordered everyone from the room. I was to remain. And so were Jodl, Krebs, and Keitel.
He was merely preparing to give vent to one of his rages.
Yeah. Once everyone had left the room, he rose to his feet. His right hand was raised, the fingers curled into a fist. Spittle was trickling down the corners of his mouth. It was an unappealing sight. He began immediately by shouting that he was surrounded by liars and traitors. For 3 minutes he screamed at us, accusing us of betrayal, deceit, and cowardice.
My Führer knows my devotion to him.
That he does. But should there be someone seeking to make trouble?
The traitor.
Precisely, Müller. We cannot be sure of what this person plans. And should he be within our midst?
Yeah, I see your point, Herr Reichsleiter. I will be cautious.
As it is, the Führer's attitude towards us altered considerably once he calmed down. He apologized, said that we looked to him for miracles and that all he was giving us was defeat. Indeed, his manner after that became most alarming.
How so? In what way?
He continued his apology. Almost the same length of time was taken by that as had been by his rage. Finally, he announced that the war was lost. We were finished.
He said that? That all was finished?
Yeah. We protested, of course, but he waved us to be silent. It's done, he cried. Steiner was our last hope. And then he announced that nothing remained for him but to die.
For him to speak like that?
It was the way he continued that made me uncertain whether he was pretending. In order to ascertain that our scheme succeeds, or whether he was genuine.
How did he continue? Surely not by giving you away.
He wept. The Führer began to weep.
You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world. Best Sellers is brought to you every Monday to Friday on Springbok Radio at 9 p.m.
John Lee's dramatic novel, The 13th Hour, is adapted for radio by John Cavigia and produced by Andre Bortman.